Hello, and welcome to the Content Minds. My name is Ryan Broderick, and I'm feeling refreshed and relaxed after a long week, just a week, of not using the internet. How are you feeling, Luke?
I'm also feeling refreshed. I also do not use the internet a huge amount, though in the last few days I'm obviously back at work, which means I have been using the internet an awful lot. But no, I feel rejuvenated. I feel 32 years and 7 months old as opposed to 32 years and 9 months old. So it's made a huge difference.
Oh, that's nice. That's nice. Yeah. I mean, for me, I am mentally still in 2019. So I feel at this point 2 years younger than what I am. Is that right?
I mean, in a way, we're all still stuck in 2019.
That's true. Well, let's get into an idea we came up with at the end of 2019. Let's go to the show. Welcome to the Content Minds. This week, we are delving into a part of the internet that we, I think, have rightfully put off for quite a while because it's very big and it's very complicated. But we're talking about the true crime corner of the internet. And specifically, we're talking about the Gabby Petito disappearance and how that's playing out algorithmically on platforms like Instagram and TikTok. But before we get to that, Luke, I have a video to show you.
Okay, hit me.
I put it in Garbage Day today, but I know that you probably haven't read that yet.
I don't read Garbage Day, as you
are. So this will be a surprise for you. So, yeah, all talk right. us through what you're seeing here.
What's up, all my chuggers? It's Anderson the Double Cheeseburger. And today, I'm going to be trying the 64-ounce Modelo chug. It's pretty cool because before, I could never find these. I think they didn't even have them before, but it's convenient instead of just a taco. Best beer in the game. All right, guys, let's try this out.
This is a man doing a... What can best be described as a taste test of two Modelos. I don't know what Modelo is. Is Modelo a beer or a whiskey?
Modelo is a Mexican beer, yeah.
It's a Mexican beer, okay. So he's basically drinking 40s, right?
Yeah, I don't even think they're 40s. I think they're small. I think they're smaller.
Sorry, is the challenge you just have to chug it?
Yeah, he has to just drink those two beers.
I'm sorry, he has drunk essentially half a pint of beer and is throwing up.
Yeah, he throws up a lot in this video.
Why? Why is he throwing up?
He had to get the burp out.
Is it particularly like?
No. It's
carbonated?
It's a completely normal beer.
Why is this a challenge? Sorry to sound incredibly British about this, but this guy has drunk essentially a pint of beer in like 4 minutes and is just vomiting his guts out. Like, okay, I'm done, and he is still vomiting. I don't understand why he's vomiting. Like, okay, like I'm trying to think of what the closest beer that looked like, and it looks vaguely like a, I don't know, what is that? That's a
Modelo. It's kind of like Peroni or something.
Okay. Yeah. No, it looks like it's slightly darker than Peroni, but he's got like a black t-shirt on, so I can't tell exactly how dark it is. Oh, okay, I found a shot. So that's. Yeah, it looks like a Peroni. It looks like it's a normal beer. Why is he vomiting after having drunk like 200 milliliters of beer?
It was too much for him. He had to get the burp out. Do you think he could drink two Modelos?
Seems fine. I don't understand why this man is throwing up after an extremely small amount of beer. I don't understand. I don't understand what the bit is.
He told you he had to get the burp out.
But why has he made it?
I don't know. Modelo is like a very smooth, nice beer. It's like a very normal beer.
Right.
It's kind of light, actually. It's not dissimilar from a Corona.
Okay. So why did he make the video? Why is it a challenge? Why is there a Modelo Chug challenge?
You know, I actually tried to find it, and I couldn't. I came across this video completely randomly, and not only can I not find where the video came from, I couldn't even really find the context that the video was created in. I think there was a Modelo Chug challenge, but like, I can't find any proof that this was even like a trend. Like, as far as I can tell, this man sat down at a table completely independently of anything else going online and was like, I'm going to chug these two beers, and then proceeded to do it so badly that he spent the whole time vomiting.
The only thing I can think, right, is that it's a challenge because, so you know how, oh God, it's going to sound ridiculous. You know how you have to, like a Strawpedo? Do you know what a Strawpedo is?
Yeah, but explain it for Americans. I've seen you do it.
Hey, I've not done a Strawpedo.
No, you did a Strawpedo of a Blue Wicket as well after we went to see Taylor Swift together in Hyde Park.
Yeah, that does sound right, actually. Yeah, so so basically, a Strawpedo is you put a straw in a beer, then you basically use the straw as kind of an aerator, because you can't, if it's a glass bottle and you have a seal over your mouth, no air can get in, therefore it's quite hard to drink. So the Strawpedo right. makes it flow into your mouth much quicker, so you can finish and chug the thing much quicker. What I think is happening here is
a Strawpedo, fun fact, is the same physics behind shotgunning a beer.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, because you're just opening an air pathway.
No. Because you are, same physics from that perspective, yes. But you, yeah. So what I'm assuming that he's trying to do here and why it's a challenge is that if you attempt to down a beer that is large from a glass bottle rather than like a 330 ml without a straw or some sort of like air mechanism, you have to keep like breathing back into it, which fizzes it up. So I think that the challenge probably comes from the amount of fizz and therefore the burp that needs to get out.
Do British people play Edward 40 hands?
No, because we don't have 40s.
Oh, that's right.
Can you imagine British people being able to buy 40 ounces of beer? Like,
no, that's really. I mean, there are parts of the UK where you can buy giant 2 liter plastic bottles of cider, and that is not good for anybody.
No. Yeah. So okay, I'm guessing that must be it. But it is. I don't know. I guess I'm gonna have to try it, aren't I? Like, not now, but yeah.
I think we both have to try. I think next episode we both have to try the Modelo challenge.
Hold on. No, sorry. We can announce this now. We have plans for a live show at some point in the next.
Do not announce this now. There's no reason to announce this now. We just talked about it for the first time ever. Yes, it could happen. I won't edit this out because I'm mad at you. No, do not jinx it. We're getting close. Last time we did this, okay. We're like, oh, I think Luke and I are going to see a movie together.
Okay, okay.
Then a third wave or whatever of the pandemic happened. There are talks about it for November. Fuck, I even committed to that now. God damn it.
So the first time, because we've never done it.
The first time
we record a live show together, which will happen, if not November, because the third wave, then I don't know, 2026 after wave 19 or whatever we do, then we will do the Modelo challenge.
Yeah. Okay. I think you can buy Modelo in corner stores in the UK. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
Okay. I have another confounding thing for you to stare at.
All right. Hit me.
A bunch of right-wing news personalities have dropped. This is a Gen Z Republican streaming service that I've sent you screenshots of.
Oh, this is fake. No way is this real.
These people are real people. These are real people.
All of these people are amazing. Okay, I'm going to read every single name of these out in a row.
Okay,
there's no way this guy's name is real. Okay.
No, this guy is the realest guy of all. He's like a prominent Republican in America. First of all, this thread is from Daily Beast reporter Will Somer. Okay. Go for it. Read it.
Right.
Read it off.
Show one, Firefight, hosted by Gunnar Thordarson. Channel two, Cup of Joe, politically right, not correct. And this guy somehow looks like both an older Ben Shapiro and a younger Ben Shapiro at the same time.
Yes. He looks like...
He looks like an aged teenage Ben Shapiro.
He looks like someone tried to like turn the Boss Baby into an adult, but it got stuck halfway, so it's like half boss, half baby.
Exactly. The next one is American Mavericks.
They're incredible.
Johnston and Dom Fernando.
Dom Fernando. Okay, so you guys can't see this, but he's got like tiny red sunglasses and a big curly head of hair that is shaved on the side. So he kind of looks like a 1990s wrestler. He is the most Chad fucker I have ever seen. I want to be, well, I assume he's a horrible person, but I would like to dress like Dom Fernando, I think.
Okay, so these are fake, right?
No, these are real.
All right. Number four is Morgan's Minute, things to know in a minute or less. That's actually not a bad idea. That's pretty straightforward.
Describe how her name is spelled.
With a double N.
And an O.
Yeah, okay, that's true. Morgan. Actually, yeah, okay. Oh, Jesus. Okay, the next one is kind of astonishing for different reasons, which is it's called Going Through It with Galen and what I thought was Joe, but the name is actually Joie, which I think is joy. But this one is particularly fascinating because they are, as far as I can tell, either twins or sisters. They're basically two identical.
They look like the same person, but one is wearing more makeup.
No. I mean, they look like two identical blonde women. Like, they're literally, they have the same hair, the same face, the same eyes, and as far as I can tell, more or less the same clothes. But one of them looks like they've got a cutout of, like, she took a photo with a phone in a bathroom. And then the right. other one looks like she has had a professional makeup job, photo shoot done, which for them, for some reason, has been edited by someone like a four-year-old to look more slick. And just, I can't understand how you end up with those two things, those two people with such different approaches to their looks next to each other.
They look like if, okay, about 15 years ago, Superman was split into two different Superman, red Superman and blue Superman. And it was sort of like the duality of Superman's personality. This looks like you did that to like Tommy Loren.
Yes. Yes, that is exactly it. Yeah. The next one on the list is What's Your Point? Which is a great name for a show. With Kaylee Campbell. Kaylee is spelled K-A-Y-L-E-E. She
not
is
a single normal name in this entire fucking thing. It's unbelievable.
Then there's a show called Basic Facts Matter with Xavier de la Rousseau, which sounds fun.
Cool name, but I'm pretty sure the name of this show is like to downplay Black Lives Matter because this is a black man as the host. So that's what this
almost is. Definitely, yes. I believe, in fact, this is the only non-white person in the entire eight sequences.
Yeah.
Although with a question mark over Dom Fernando.
We don't know. Dom Fernando's a man of the world. Dom Fernando's an international guy. Yeah. We don't know where he's like Vin Diesel. We don't know where he's from. He could be from anywhere. Oh man, I'm obsessed with Dom Fernando. I'm gonna go follow him on Instagram.
It's entirely possible he's a Latino guy with a perm, which sure. That sounds fun. Then the final one is Lean Right with, I'm sorry, but this is a fake name. Blake is his first name. Fine. I understand all the worst Americans are called Blake. But the surname is Cresses. K-R-E-S-S-E-S, which is
Blake
not a name.
Cresses. Blake Cresses.
Yeah. Like, I know Americans have stupid names, and I know that the reason they have stupid names is because of, like, racism on the border. But, sorry, at some point you've got to pick a better name. Like, Cresses? Where is the name Cresses even from?
Is it a bird or something?
Well, there's a Cress who's vaguely famous, who is, as far as I can tell, like, sounds German-American or Pennsylvania, so he was a Mason. Yeah, so let's say century European. He would have been in the first wave of immigration to the US. But, like, I don't understand why Cresses is then a thing.
Okay, so this whole thing is done by a network called Today is America.
Today is America.
Today is America.
Of all days, today is America.
Oh, wait. Okay, I found... Oh, man. I found Dom Fernando's Instagram, and it's even more outrageous than you think. So what do you think Dom Fernando's actual name is?
I don't even know.
Oh. It's so good.
What is his real name?
Well, okay, so... On his Instagram, he goes by Dominic Michelangelo. And from what I can tell, he's like just like a super Italian guy.
Oh, okay.
I think. This man is the most outrageous looking man I have ever seen in my life. He looks like a lawyer in a 1980s porn.
He looks like, I don't even know what he looks like. He looks like, yeah, maybe I, why is he doing any of the things that he's doing to his,
there's like a photo parents. Of him like being Italian posted in July, and it's him in the parking garage of the Westin in Dallas, and he's eating a pizza out of a Sbarro box, which is unbelievable. There's so much. Oh man, he looks like both members of LMFAO.
Yes, yes, he does. There's
he's amazing.
There's an astonishing photo where he is. Oh god. Okay, I'm going to describe this, but yeah, his handle is the fresh. The Fresco Show, which the Fresco thing is coming from nowhere, but okay. And this thing in July, from July 20th, he is wearing a like slip-on shoes, no socks, which I think is gross. I'm sorry. I don't think there's a good excuse to wear shoes, but that's
no,
socks.
You wear... I do that look all the time, but you just wear small socks for that.
Okay. He's got like, you know, checked suit trousers on, a belt, I think is... I'm going to say Gucci, but I don't think it's Gucci. With two enormous G's on the belt buckle, a black shirt, and then a jacket that has like gold lamé. Well, it's not lamé, I guess, but it's like gold filigree design on, and then also the two tiny sunglasses and the permed mullet.
I have scrolled through his entire Instagram, and I think I understand what's happening here. I think that this man is like an Italian guy from Pennsylvania.
Okay.
Who is like working very hard to hide the fact that he is from like the middle of nowhere, Pennsylvania. And that's what's happening here.
Okay.
He's also been banned from TikTok what seems like many times.
I also really enjoy it. If you go back to the very start of his Instagram, his vibe is extremely, he is attempting to be a rapper.
Yes.
Which is well, no, he, always the thing.
At the beginning of his Instagram, he is like very much like, I'm a guy from Pennsylvania. So he's like wearing like American Apparel, skinny jeans, and like a white guy rapper, like hipster rapper look in like a shitty warehouse. And then he transitions into like fascist because that's that pipeline.
Yeah. Then suddenly, yeah, like a year later, the end of 2020, suddenly he's wearing like turtlenecks and pink chinos and blazers, and then yeah, very shortly afterwards he is full Trump weirdo.
I feel like we don't talk enough about the role that menswear plays in radicalizing people.
No, I mean, it comes up, it's not just menswear though, is it? It's the male appearance stuff, because it also really really lasts with or really matters to the that the incel people, the black pill people, all of whom are like, oh, suddenly I've learned how to dress and girls still don't like me and therefore I should shoot people. But it's really tied into that as well.
Yeah. It's just like, you know, all these guys have body dysmorphia and then they become like right-wing talk show hosts. yeah, this is wild. This is out of control wild. I wish today's America the best. I will not be subscribing to their streaming service, even though it means I won't be able to see Blake Kresses, who you didn't mention has insane muscles.
I guess
like inappropriately large muscles for the size of his face is what I'm saying. It looks like he had like his face photoshopped onto his body.
I think he has a small head.
All of these people have the wrong size head.
Yes.
For people who definitely believe in phrenology, all these people have the wrong size head.
What I really like, right, is that Sacha Baron Cohen made that show which was called Who is America? Which was entirely intended to be gibberish. And they've now built an entire network that is just, this is America. Oh, sorry, today is America, which makes less sense somehow.
Today is America doesn't make any sense. This is America makes sense.
Yeah, but today is America does not. And I I was kind of coming at that as a, I was trying to make it make sense in my head, and that's why I said this is America. But it's not. It's today is America, and that doesn't make sense.
Today is America.
Today is .com. America.
I'm on there right now. Hold on. Are there more shows? I want to see if there's more shows. They have a page called Republican Hype House, which I'm on right now.
Is it the normal Republican Hype House, or is it a different one?
It's a different. It's a TikTok channel that one of the videos is about how masturbation makes you go blind, which is fascinating. Yeah, this is the darkest shit I've ever seen.
I was gonna say, what I think is interesting about this is that it's not that dramatic. Like, I feel like I would have seen more of this, but this feels kind of like gibberish.
No, that's the thing. Like, I have seen like Nick Fuentes live streams that are horrifying. I've seen like Baked Alaska content that's really bad. Like, I've seen what Gen Z right wing stuff looks like. Like, Groyper stuff is really bad and dark. This is just like stupid and like lame. And all these people are lame.
I think this is kind of the thing that's jumping out of me at this is like, none of these people are real or matter or are going to do anything. But I think that the way they kind of come at this stuff is so, I don't know. I think there's basically two schools of people on this side of the people who are trying to do this, which are the people who genuinely like believe this and are like, yes, we're going to do the thing here, and then end up in an attempt to get their message out, end up figuring out how to optimize their content to get there. And then this group of people whose only thing is the content and don't really care about what they're doing. So, like, they call it, like, Republican hype house, but they're not really doing anything that's that Republican. They're just sort of, I mean, some of the stuff is kind of gross, but it's, like, it's a bit more, like, chaotic than it is ideological.
Yes. It's like such a clear grift that it's, like, hard to take seriously.
Yes, exactly.
Let's talk about true crime and TikTok. So, before we get started, I want to set up just like the basic facts of where we are with this story. We are recording this on Wednesday evening. So if by the time you hear this on Thursday or Friday, things have changed, that's why. We are talking about the disappearance of Gabby Petito. So she is a 22-year-old Instagram influencer. She was a nutritionist. She quit her job to become an influencer full-time and went traveling the country's national parks with her boyfriend, Brian Laundry. She was last heard from in a text message sent to her mom at the end of August. Her mom claims it did not sound like her. Also, in the text message, she claims that she didn't have service in the parks. And then the next day, her boyfriend arrived in Florida home without her. So timing-wise, that doesn't make a ton of sense. And there's going to be lots of details like this as we get into this story. A missing persons report was filed for her in September. And over the course of 10 days, she went from having an Instagram account that had less than 1,000 followers to getting close now to over 1 million followers. And the most recent update is that the police have found remains that belong to her. They've declared it a homicide. Brian Laundry is missing in Florida. And the thing about this story is that it exploded on TikTok and Instagram in a way that I think has made a lot of people really uncomfortable.
Yes. And I mean, it's exploded on those, but it's also exploded in mainstream media as well. Like, I think one of the things that you mentioned there is that how quickly her following grew. And I do not think that is properly understood by an awful lot of people, that it became very quickly that she was a big influencer, big travel influencer, all that stuff. And I don't think that there was an understanding that she did not really have a following before she disappeared, which like is not anything. Like, she was clearly trying to do it, like a van life thing. It's obviously a successful seam of content. But I think one of the tragedies of it is that it's felt like a very, it's felt like everyone has felt additionally allowed to comment on her and allowed to speculate because she lived her life in public, even though she did not live her life in public. That was not what was happening. And I think that's one of the things that has made me quite uncomfortable with the whole thing.
I wish so we were both on vacation as this was picking up. And incidentally, I was traveling the national parks myself while this was happening in a really weird turn of fate. So when I finally like started to understand what was going on last weekend, as I was like kind of coming back into work mode, I was shocked at how small her following was before this started. Because I had assumed from bits and pieces like, oh, maybe she had like 10 to 20,000 followers and she was sort of like, you know, she was like that middle tier kind of influencer. And this would explain why there's like so much out there about her. Come to find out there wasn't. She was just like, I mean, it would be like if you or I went missing and someone with our internet following became
less
like
this, to be honest. She
less,
had
actually less. Yeah.
Yeah. She has significantly less following than either of us, really. Like, I mean, she did say when she spoke to the police that, like, she was trying to be an influencer. That was very much openly what she was trying to do. And that, as a result, was kind of that was part of it, I guess.
So just to clue people in who might be out of the loop here, one of the, like, big pieces, I think, of why this has become such a fascination with the internet. I mean, obviously, it helps that she's pretty, she's 22, she's a white woman. All of the things the internet is probably going to make go viral anyways. The other piece of this is that her and her boyfriend were pulled over by police, and there was basically like an altercation between the two of them. The police thought it might be domestic violence on her part because they had seen her slapping him.
Yeah.
That footage was published by local reporters in America and has now been pored over and like digested and dissected and turned into clips and memes and fan cams and hashtags. And I think that to me is one of the most important pieces of this, is that like that this story needed that sort of that uncanny valley factor that you get with the body cam footage.
Yeah, I think that definitely makes it the body cam footage is really quite haunting because it feels like there's multiple failures the whole way along from the police. Like they didn't stop it, which is the number one thing. But yeah, it has made it feel very uncanny. I also think one other thing about it is that it has fit very cleanly into an existing paradigm. And specifically, I think the rise of Netflix has meant there has been a huge amount more true crime documentaries, true crime coverage. And there was a documentary that came out a little while ago, and I'm trying to remember the name of it. Because it was really, really grim. That was American Murder, The Family Next Door.
Right.
And what happened in that? I don't know if you saw it.
No, I haven't seen it.
So it's basically the story of the Watts family murders, which was basically it's a really haunting story. It opens with basically the police talking to this guy who's like, "Hey, I came home last night. My family wasn't there. Thought they'd be there. They're not there." And then it goes on and on through a lot of police body cam footage. It doesn't do the kind of talking head stuff. It's just using body cam footage, CCTV stuff, and then stuff from like an interrogation room. As it, over the course of like 36 to 48 hours, it turns out that, you know, he killed them and what happened to their bodies and this stuff. But there's a specific sequence in it where he's kind of saying, "Hey, yeah, no, I'm trying to figure out like when they left and that sort of stuff." And the police go over to a neighbor across the road who kind of says, "I'll have a look on my CCTV thing," because they live in like one of these big suburbs outside of Colorado, I think.
Right.
And he kind of shows the clip and they're like, "Oh yeah, well, we can't really see anything from this." And then the guy whose family it is leaves and is like going outside, but he's quite, through the whole thing, he's kind of, I wouldn't say calm. Like if I was looking at him as a normal person, I'd be like, he seems relatively normal and like a bit like stressed, but not that out. And as he leaves, after he leaves, the guy whose house he's in, his neighbor, turns to the police officer and goes like, "There's something up with him. He's incredibly off. He's acting really strangely."
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of this stuff really, really matches what happens on this police, the police body cam video, both stylistically, you know, it is a police body cam. It's talking to someone, but also the body cam where he's kind of like, "Seems fine. Seems okay. Just like a little bit stressed about this, but it's basically fine." Really, really matches the behavior of Brian Lowdry in the other stuff. And I think that kind of match, and it's not the only documentary that it really closely matches. There is a lot of them that are quite similar to this, but I think that paradigm being present and able to people glom onto it and be like, "Oh, I know exactly what's happened here. The guy is guilty. she's killed her, we need to find her, all that stuff, means that people really attach to it with a narrative that it may well prove to be accurate, we don't know, but at this point. But I think that it meant that people talked about it in a way as though it was fictional before it was. Or rather, in a way that it was fictional before it was, while it was still active.
Yes. So I think what you said sort of about like the way people are watching more and more true crime now, and then it's like impacting the way that they view reality, because it's like they're seeing the tropes of true crime in reality, because of course, like,
yeah,
that's how it's made, is like feeding this like really weird loop. And I, you know, on this show, we talk a lot about how like algorithms and recommendation systems, they don't invent things out of thin air. They just sort of reinforce what's already there and create sort of this never ending effect of escalation. And so this video, it came out in May 2021. It has done an astounding 50 million views.
Jesus.
It's titled "What Pretending to Be Crazy Looks Like."
Right. No, we talked about this channel.
Yes. We did talk about this channel. So the JCS Criminal Psychology channel, this was incidentally the last video it uploaded. It is a crazy popular channel with 4.4 million subscribers. The crazy video is its biggest one, but it also has one about Jodi Arias that has like 20 million views. And I think it's a really good look at like the tip of an iceberg that is so much bigger than we like. Like you and I, we talk about this sort of stuff all the time, and we've never talked about true crime because it's almost too big to talk about.
Yeah, it's very hard because, you know, I don't say good true crime is okay and bad true crime isn't. But there is an element of that. You can do this stuff quite amateurishly and not present in a responsible way, but equally you can use a very big platform like Netflix and present this true crime stuff in an extremely irresponsible way. Simultaneously, and there's good stuff, and like it's really tricky because basically there is so much crime. There is so much crime out there. Like it sounds ridiculous, yes, but there is so much crime. All of this stuff can be worked into cases, and it's a podcast. Obviously, is a huge element of this. There are an awful lot of true crime podcasts that do exactly this, and I think that has also fed this because an awful lot of those true crime podcasts are the audience is. I don't want to say primarily female, but it's like it skews heavily female.
It does.
And as a result, also skews towards female victims. But also that's because for various obvious reasons, women are killed by men a lot more than men are killed by women. Which means, yeah, it tends to have this skew, but it also means that, yeah, you get a case like this and everyone just picks it up and says, oh, we know how this works. We can cover this as content, not as an active disappearance.
Right. There was actually a couple TikTok comments that went viral of users being like, it's crazy we're watching a true crime story happen in real time.
Yeah. And it's like, what did you think crime was?
Yeah. No, and I think there's this other really interesting element here where like we associate media, like videos, images, we associate that with entertainment. So, and then the internet sort of blurs this line where you have like, researching on the internet, falling down a rabbit hole is kind of a very similar experience to like looking at clues and putting things together and building a narrative and a story.
Yeah.
And so the aesthetics of crime, the body cam footage and the blurry videos and the TikTok user in the Gabby Petito case that later went on TikTok and said, oh, I picked him up. And then she was eventually interviewed by police for that. All of these things are not entertainment. But no. True crime exists in this weird gray area where it takes those things and it turns them into an entertaining narrative. And so like anything else on the internet, like everyone on the internet figures out how to do everything. Like they will figure out how to make mashups. They will figure out how to write fan fiction. They will figure out how to build their own works. And so what we're seeing is essentially people on the internet building their own true crime stuff out of a real crime. And they're doing it live in front of us. And that is deeply upsetting and weird.
Yeah. I also do not understand the people who... Because it wasn't just her. There was a few others who said, oh, we spotted the van. Oh, we saw them here or whatever it was. And I really do not understand why you make a TikTok video of that. That felt unpleasant.
So this was something that I've been grappling with. So let's move to the next section of this here. what I think bothers me the most, because I think you're right, where it's like there isn't like a good true crime, bad true crime. Like, it's kind of what it is, right?
Yeah.
But what I think bothers me the most about all of this is that I would say 90% of the people engaging with Gabby Petito content are doing it in a way that is optimized for maximum social clout.
Yes, absolutely.
But I want to talk about, I think we should definitely mention this piece, How Social Justice Slideshows Took Over Instagram, by Terry Nguyen for Vox. And last summer, she, I think, really, really called it on this, which was that teenagers were basically using the Instagram multiple image carousels to post aesthetically pleasing, cutesy graphics about like really serious matters. And that is happening right now with the Gabby Petito Instagram accounts.
Yeah.
So you spotted one, right?
Yeah. This is, I think, one of the things that, yeah, it made me deeply feel deeply strange about this. But this is, I think, probably maybe the worst offender, which is, yeah, it's, the account is Gabby.Petito. And it is grotesque. It is linking to a site called Where's Gabby.com, but every single slide is I don't know the way to describe the font, but it's like a serifed, all lowercase, kind of 60s cartoon font. Is that the best way to describe it?
It looks like a shirt that you would buy at the beach.
Yeah, exactly. and lots of fun colors and interesting, like, complementary colors and all this stuff. And the quotes are things like, I have chills because someone who saw her alive said, I have chills. That person said to Fox News Digital. Someone said, like, right around the time her body was found, was just, she touched the world. And it's like, oh God, another one just says Brian seen hitting, slapping Gabby. And it's like done as a nice looking, it's really grotesque.
It's really weird. It's really dark. And like, you would look at this and you would think like, okay, this was a person who is like a really well-known celebrity and they've created, you know, a tribute page to them, which I'm not saying I like that, but like, I understand that it's a thing. But like we said at the beginning of the show, like this woman was just like a woman who had an Instagram account. Like that's what, like there's a very weird parasocial relationship happening. And the fact that, to me, it almost feels like this entire section of people who are following the story specifically on TikTok and Instagram have no ability to communicate anymore without the idea of promoting themselves as a brand as well.
Yeah, exactly. It's like your goal is not to get the information out or whatever. The goal is to grow your brand, and growing your brand is the same as getting the information out.
Like, I could see this Gabby.Petito account rebranding as like, you know, shit teens say in 6 months, and it's completely blank. And now it's just posting like photos of teenagers with like relatable captions. Like it's clearly a content marketing scheme. And that is like one of the most upsetting things I have seen in a long time.
But it's also not even, the other way to say it is, it's not even a potentially content marketing. It is just that everyone intuitively jumps to effectively content market.
Yes, it's like there's no way to communicate online anymore without content marketing.
Yeah, it's like, oh, we want to talk about this case. What is the most effective way that we can get it out? Therefore, but it's not attempting to spread it. It is attempting to be like, what is the most effective way that we can be the key source of information from this by constantly talking about it in an aesthetically pleasing way, which... Yeah, I don't know. It's really hard to explain. I think we're both struggling with this a little bit, trying to like figure out what we're supposed to be saying about this.
Well, I mean, other than just like it's happening and this is what people are doing, which is weird because it's like, okay, that's what it is. It feels a bit, I don't know, in my mind, it feels almost like we didn't really pay attention to like a whole chunk of young people, and they've just over the last like 5 years become like weird brand robots that have no ability to talk or like empathize like a normal person anymore.
Yeah, that sounds correct. Wait, can I show you the worst tweet?
Is it the psychic tweet?
I think it sounds like it is. This tweet?
Yes. So this is from an astrologer named Starheel, who tweeted, "Because Gabby Petito has Uranus and Taurus opposing her Mars, I'm afraid she was killed by strangulation. Taurus rules the throat." And then in a follow-up tweet, she wrote, "I don't know, though. That's just my intuitive guess." And what's crazy is that, like, a lot of these people are replying being like, "You're unwell. You're a bad person. Please don't do this." But the first one was someone said that Brian had a rope necklace that is missing, and they suspected the same. And many other people engaging with this seriously, which I think is more upsetting than actually the original tweet.
Yeah, people just being like, yeah, no, this sounds right. And it's just, oof.
There was another I mean, obviously there's always psychics that get involved with disappearances. Like that's sort of like a time honored tradition of this sort of thing. But there was another one on TikTok who was like a TikTok witch who said that she could use tarot cards to communicate with Gabby if the police wanted her help. But once again, it feels like to me 10 years ago, 20 years ago, the psychic maybe would go on like some freaky radio show or something. But the fact that the site or go to the police themselves and the police would say, you know, fuck off, or they'd, I guess, use them or whatever. But this to me is different because they're all going on TikTok first.
Yes.
I got one more upsetting thing to show you. This is an Instagram influencer named Jessica Reed Krause. Have you heard of her?
The name vaguely sounds familiar.
So if you go further back on her stories on Instagram, she has 300,000 followers. She grew really fast during the Free Britney movement, and she was an investigative journalist during the Free Britney movement. She's now organizing a massive Instagram story in two parts about Gabby Petito, and just like click on one and kind of go through it because they're really long.
That's where I remember her name from. It was the Free Britney stuff.
So if you go to the most recent one, titled "To Gabby," it's, hundreds of slides in this story, collecting every piece of internet presence that Gabby Petito had put out and Brian Laundrie. She also, this influencer who goes by House in Habit, is trying to connect Brian to the disappearance of two other women.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
And the majority of the story is like connecting this mass conspiracy of disappearing women around like different national parks in America.
Oh, this is grim as shit. Why are people doing
this? And what's crazy is that, like, so if you go to her grid, like her grid just looks like a normal Instagram mom. Like she posts photos of her kids.
Yeah.
You know, her like wearing like different outfits. But in her stories, she's putting together like, I mean, basically it looks like OSINT. It looks like open source intelligence. It looks like what you would see in DFR Lab or Bellingcat, but it's not.
But like the reason why that stuff is incredibly hard to do, like it is, I don't know how to say it other than like it's tough. It's tough to be like do about what Bellingcat do because they have to verify it, and this does not seem to be verified in any way.
It's also done usually crowdsourced. It's done like on the reason it's typically done on Twitter is because it's one of the easiest platforms to like see what everyone's posting and like organize it. Where on Instagram, it's just stuff that she's being DM'd but from people or like sharing from their stories. So it's just like it's ripped from all over the internet and just like aggregated together, and it's a mess.
Yeah.
And she has like, she has slides where she has like title cards and it's done. It looks like you're watching a Netflix documentary, but it's just like, it's just random comments and random video clips. It's jarring and weird.
It is. Oh, God, no. Yeah, this is so grim and strange and, without putting too fine a point on it, aggressively unverified. Like, yeah, okay. Fuck.
Yeah.
Man, I was not totally prepared for this, to be honest. Like, I was aware, like, how bad this has gotten, but the more of this stuff you see, it's incredibly clear that everyone is attempting to build their own clout. And I always think, like, some of these people are clearly coming at this deliberately, but I think a lot of them are not and just intuitively optimize. So if you are a mom blogger, a mom influencer, you just turn those same tricks to whatever you're wanting to talk about, which sometimes mean you end up doing, like, basically true crime influencing as the crime happens.
Yeah. I think there's another really weird piece to this, which is that, like, we know that what we put on social media isn't a true reflection of reality, because it can't be. There's no way.
No.
But for some reason, we assume that what other people put on Instagram or on various social platforms is a true reflection of reality. And we hold them to this weird standard that we know is not true for ourselves.
Yep.
And it allows people, I think, to turn other people into avatars. So there's this, like, weird thing where, you know, I watched a couple of Gabby and Brian's vlogs, and it's like a very normal, like, van life vlog. There's nothing particularly...
There's only one vlog. Like, it, yeah. Yeah.
No, but, like, they did, like, little video clips on TikTok and stuff. Right, and right, it was right. All, like... I mean, actually, it was very similar to the stuff that me and my girlfriend were shooting on our trip to the Grand Canyon. Like, it's just like your normal couple on vacation videos. And to watch people, like, seemingly very seriously turn this into, like, you know, she touched the world and she was, like, you know, incredible. And you know, I'm sure she was a really nice person. I don't, you know, but it is very bizarre to see this, like, personality cult rise up simply because, like, she put some images on the internet. And, like, there's now a story and a mystery to it, and it's like it's hit that kind of, like, idea of escape velocity we talk about all the time, where it's now out of control.
Yeah.
And, like, there will be, like, Gabby Petito truthers no matter what comes out. You know, there will be truthers of this or that, and there will be people who believe that, you know, her boyfriend was involved in a series of disappearances and murders. And then you have, like, the other part of the discourse, which I think we have to mention, which is the fact that, like, these people are white and yep. people of color and all kinds of other communities are never treated this way, even though they have just as much of an Instagram following as she did, because she didn't have one. Like, it's like you can't even say, like, oh, because she's an influencer, she's a celebrity, that's why they're talking about it. It's like, no, she was just a person. She was just another person. Like, it's fucked.
Yeah,
that's my academic opinion. It's fucked. And I hope, like, it doesn't sound like we're saying that, like, people shouldn't care that this woman is missing and probably dead, but at the same time, like, the systems here are broken.
Yeah, it's a classic thing of, I don't 100%, some of the stuff that we talk about is always like, oh, there is a clear algorithmic problem to this, and the algorithmic problem here is obviously, you know, people are optimized for engagement and therefore take really weird approaches to stuff at times like this, but part of it is just, like, people are unable to control some of their instincts.
Yeah, I agree. Unfortunately, we don't really have, like, a light thing to end on here, but at the same time, I do find this stuff interesting, and I think it's not going away. It's probably getting worse, and I think TikTok is an out-of-control algorithm that is, like, you know, it's now the biggest social network in America, so I'm curious. I guess I'm curious what happens next. I don't know.
Yeah.
Should we go to content you consume to stay sane now?
Yeah, let's do it.
Hey, Luke, did you consume any content to stay sane this week?
To be honest, I've basically only been reading books because I've been away, and therefore that's the only content that I consume.
Books are content.
Books are content. In many ways, the original content.
That's true.
But I also don't have many interesting books to talk about because I've mainly read books about football, and try not to talk about that too much.
Please spare us. Please spare us that.
Yeah, one thing I will say is that I did read one book, which was, do you remember The Girl on the Train book/movie.
I haven't seen it or read it, but I've heard of it, yeah.
The movie was eventually, it was an Emily Blunt was in it, I think. But I read the sequel to the sequels that, which was kind of fascinating because basically the woman who wrote it, Paula Hawkins, the first one was Girl on the Train, which was in the wake of Gone Girl and was less successful than Gone Girl, but a very successful book anyway. The second book was awful, like dire and panned. And then the third book, she has like an author character who constantly explains why his second novel was actually okay. And explains like that people didn't get what was happening and all of the, you know, perspective changes, like people just didn't understand what he was trying to do. And it's like, this is weird because your second book had a lot of perspective changes in that you now seem to be having this character explain why actually that's a good thing. Which I found very funny. And I haven't read the Sally Rooney book, but apparently the third Sally Rooney book is also talking about an author and kind of defending an author who's become an overnight success and can't necessarily handle the fame, but is trying to find a way to deal with it, but also sort of defending herself as well. And I think it's very funny that the authors write books defending themselves, basically.
Yeah, just suck it up. You know, that's what Twitter's for. If you want to, you know, defend yourself. I'm watching the third season of Sex Education.
Oh, how is that?
It's really weird because it's British people doing things that British people do not do. It is like an entire show where they have British people living in a town that looks like an American town, going to a school that looks like an American school.
This is the really weird one, isn't it? Where it is based in... Oh, where is it based?
Moordale, England.
Yeah, it's not actually... It's basically an American high school, for some reason, based in Wales.
It's bizarre. Yes. Yeah. So, like, they're wearing, like... Well, in this season, they get uniforms that are British uniforms, but they have an American school logo on them. I would read quite a big piece on, like, with the American involvement in this show, because I can't tell if it's like British actors and some British writers working for an American team, if it's British people trying to please American bosses. Like, I cannot figure out what is going on in this show.
It seems like they have intentionally made it obtuse. They've just like, we're taking a bit of British stuff and a bit of American stuff and we're just going for it.
But there's stuff that like makes more sense if it was British. There's British stuff in it that they've stripped the context out of. So like, I'm sure like the average viewer doesn't notice, but like it drives me up a wall. Cause I'm like, I know both places and this doesn't make any sense. Like they have like the like poor girl living in a caravan park and they have like, which I guess, you know, we have trailer parks in America, but like the idea of like, I don't know, the class, Luke. The class dynamics are out of control.
Yeah. I mean, it's even a little bit British, so of course it's mostly out of control. But yeah, it also doesn't have a clear time period, is the other thing, is my understanding.
Oh, man. Yeah, they're using smartphones, but they're also using like not even cordless home phones. Like, there's a whole plot point about a voicemail on a voicemail machine.
Yeah, see, yeah, I think that it is one of those things where they have essentially got to a point where they're like, all right, so what we're going to do is we're not going to commit to the idea that this is in a specific location, that this has a anything to it. We'll just pick up whatever plot points are useful for us right now and we'll ignore the rest and pretend that it just makes sense.
Right. Like, aesthetically, I don't know where it takes place and I don't know when it takes place. It's a very strange show. It's a nice show. This season's very good, but it is very confusing. If you are someone who cares about British realism, I guess. I don't know. I mean, sure.
Or American realism, because I understand it's not any more realistic for an American school. It's just wrong for both. And the time period.
I mean, it kind of looks like the school I went to for high school, kind of. Like, I went to a prep school, but it was all boys. But, like, same kind of aesthetics. But, like, confusing. The whole thing's confusing. Speaking of confusing... Next week, we are dropping post-credit scene on our Patreon, and it is Spider-Man 3.
Yeah.
We're finally doing Sam Raimi's Spider-Man 3. It is going to be great, and it's going to be so bad. I cannot wait.
Yeah, as I understand, it's a... my memory is it's just, you know, it's basically a perfect movie. There's nothing wrong with it. Yeah.
Nothing at all.
Just great
nothing,
fun.
Nothing wrong with Spider-Man 3 at all. I cannot wait for Peter Parker to come out and then dance. I'm so excited. If you want to listen to that, you can go to patreon.com/thecontentminds. And thank you guys for listening. And don't watch too much true crime. You know, let the algorithm know that you want to see it, because it'll
be careful about it. Yeah,
be careful. All right, bye guys.
Bye.